प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा धाम की द्वारका परिधाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की गंगम यमुनमय की भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम आई विल रीड द वर्स 20 एंड ट्रांसलेशन बिकॉज इट डजंट हैव अ परपोर्ट तमस्य पारे विदुरात्मसर्गं विचिन्वतो भृत्य महांस्त्रिणेभि मे यो देहभाजां भय भीरयाणः परीक्षिणोत्यायुरजस्य हेतिः ओ विदुर व्हाइल सर्चिंग इन दैट वे अबाउट हिज एक्जिस्टेंस Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates fear in the mind of the living entity, like the fear of death. Text number 21, which is written on the board. Tato nivritto pratilabdha kamaha. स्वदिष्ण्यमासाद्य पुनः सदेवः शनैर्जितश्वास निवृत्तचित्तो न्यषीददारूढसमाधियोगः ततो निवृत्तो प्रतिलब्धकामः स्वदिष्ण्यमासाद्य पुनः स देवः शनैर्जितश्वासनिवृत्तचित्तो न्यषीददारूढसमाधियोगः ततो निवृत्तो अप्रतिलब्धकामः स्वधिष्ण्यमासाद्य पुनः स देवः शनैर्जितश्वासनिवृत्तचित्तो नशीददारूढसमाधियोगः श्वास निवृत्त चित्तो रूढ़ समाधि योग ततो निवृत्तो प्रतिलब्ध कामः स्वादिष्ण्यमासाद्य पुनः सदेवः शनैर्जित श्वास निवृत्त चित्तो वैष्णवीस स्वादिष्ण्यमासाद्य पुनः सदेवः शनैर्जित श्वास निवृत्त चित्तो न्यषीदारूढ समाधि ततः thereafter निवृत्तः रिटायर्ड फ्रॉम दैट एंडेवर अप्रतिलब्ध कामः विदाउट अचीवमेंट ऑफ द डिजायर्ड डेस्टिनेशन स्वादिष्ण्यम ओन सीट आसाद्य रीचिंग पुनः अगेन सह ही देवः द डेमिगॉड शनैः विदाउट डिले जितश्वास कंट्रोलिंग द ब्रीथिंग निवृत्त रिटायर्ड चित्तः इंटेलिजेंस न्यषीदत सैट डाउन आरूढ in confidence samadhi yoga in meditation on the lord translation purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta swami prabhupada shri prabhupada ki thereafter being unable to achieve the desired destination he retired from such searching and came back again to the top of the lotus thus controlling all objectives He concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. Purport. Samadhi involves concentrating the mind upon the Supreme Cause of all. Even if one is unaware of whether his actual nature is personal, impersonal or localized, concentration of the mind on the Supreme is certainly a form of devotional service. To cease from personal sense endeavors and to concentrate on the supreme cause is a sign of self surrender and when self surrender is present that is a sure sign of devotional service each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service to the lord if he wishes to understand the ultimate cause of his existence ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्यज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुःवन्मेलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादिपाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. దర్ ఆఫ్టర్ బీయింగ్ అనేబుల్ టు అచీవ్ ద డిజైర్డ్ డెస్టినేషన్, he retired from such searching and came back again to the top of the lotus. Thus controlling all objectives, he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada is saying here, each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service to the Lord if he wishes to understand the ultimate cause of his existence. This is very close to what we were discussing in the last week also, that Brahma, while he was sitting in the lotus, he is coming down the stem and not able to find anything even by any amount of search. But after returning back to lotus and focusing his attention and concentration on the Supreme Lord, he becomes very empowered. Similarly, with our, you know, some 200 grams of grey matter, you know, how can we glorify Krishna or his devotees or Krishna's pastimes in the scriptures? It is just impossible. But by the blessings of Vaishnavas, Guru Parampara, they can use our tongue to glorify the Lord in whatever way they feel would be fit for everyone. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he went to West, in one of the very first lectures he spoke on the holy name. He says that generally the living entities, they use their mind for enjoying sense gratification, making plans for sense gratification. I like this, I will enjoy this. I don't like that, I will avoid that. But he says the sense gratification is animal platform, but that's what most human beings are about. But with the mind they concoct, speculate ideas for enjoyment. But with intelligence they understand that although I have concocted various ways for enjoyment, I am not happy. See, this is a very right conclusion. But unfortunately, that conclusion doesn't come for many lifetimes. It takes millions of lifetimes. Just like the two words in Sanskrit, one is called as Nishreyas, another one is called Abhyudai. So Abhyudai means accomplishments, achievements, success, popularity, fame. Somebody may say, I have conquered so many lands like Alexander, or I have played so many tournaments and won so many cricket matches like some great cricket player, or somebody may consider success to be accumulating a lot of wealth, like, you know, those who are lakhpatis, if they have come to 40 lakhs, 50 lakhs, then their wives tell them, make it 1 crore, then he has to work hard to bring it to 1 crore. Somebody who has married 7 or 8 crore wives may say that make it now 10 crore. And there are people even, like you see, big companies like Reliance and 47,000 crores, Hindujas. So then they may get a feedback, make it 50,000 crores. So everybody in this world, you will find, no matter how much they accumulate wealth, They, even after showing off to everybody, still they are not satisfied with accolades, successes. So, when we, in this world you will find the people who are at the top, like the apex in the pyramid, they are not happy. A practical example is Hiranyakashipu. He had become proprietor of not just this world. Alexander was a tiny tot in front of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had wrapped up the whole three worlds, upper, lower and middle, everything. Still he was dissatisfied. So this is the symptom of Abhyudaya. The external accomplishments and achievements and successes for which the world may lift us up and drop us down, which is very common. Like sometimes you find they will put somebody on a very elevated seat, they will wash his feet, they will put flowers on his feet and lift him up. Sometimes they put him on a silver chariot and they bring him. And if he does some gadbad, they will beat him to death, practically. You will see that. In India, sometimes people overly pamper somebody and then they may beat them to death also. Because the material world is characterized by this type of behavior. The external successes are counted as successes, often. But the actual success is inner fulfillment, inner satisfaction, happiness. And that never comes from outside. It is actually the nature and quality of the soul. It springs from the soul. The bliss and the happiness and the inner fulfillment, inner satisfaction, joy. So these are all very natural to the soul in relation to Krishna. And that is not acquired from outside. Not only that, even the qualities, the soul has innate qualities and acquired qualities. When the soul comes from the spiritual world to this place, you know, like rainwater is very transparent and pure. But when it touches the ground, it becomes brownish or blackish or something like that. So, there are innate qualities of the soul. And there are acquired qualities called secondary svabhava. There is primary svabhava, secondary svabhava. Secondary svabhava is what is leading us to varnashrama. Because somebody is in saptaguna, rajaguna, rajaguna, tamaguna, mishran, then tamaguna. So, that is secondary svabhava. But the primary svabhava is the natural propensity of the soul to be satisfied, cheerful, jolly in Krishna's service. Like there is a sentence Prabhupada writes in the Bhishma Pitama section that the living entity by the will of the Lord is so made that he experiences utmost happiness in a state of absolute dependence on the Lord. So this is what is primary svabhava. Primary svabhava of the soul is absolute dependence on the Lord. Secondary svabhava is to think I am independent. I can enjoy separately, I can enjoy independently, and I am the Lord of all that I survey. And I don't need connection with God or anything, I don't believe. So this kind of propensity is secondary svabhava, you see. So, and with that secondary wrong script, the jiva bonders in this world, you know, acquiring lands, acquiring fame, acquiring name, becoming popular, and going to great material heights, only to be dropped down to ground at the time of death, you see. So one can never become satisfied or happy, even after any amount of search. That's why senses want sense gratification. And mind wants imagination, speculation. I like this, I don't like that, that's mine. And intelligence, if it is sound, it understands that, oh, I am not getting anywhere. I am going here, going there, trying for happiness, but none of it is making happy. Like one gentleman had come to my office on a working day, on a Wednesday, with his wife. He was wearing coat, suit, tie and everything. So he asked for the president of the temple and somebody guided him and he came. So when he came and sat, so he said, you see, he was working with a big company, Tech Mahindra, something like that. And he said his position is like deputy, almost second in the company. He said, and his wife is a doctor, she has her own clinic also, she had come also. He said, there is nothing in this world that we did not enjoy. We have been for European tour, we have gone for American tour, We have cars, we have bungalow, we have facility, we have money, we are crorepatis. Somehow we are not happy. So I said, but you come on a working day, today is working. He said, what working day, holiday? For me, any day can be holiday. I am a deputy director in the company. So nobody can ask me where I am also. I have the freedom. But I really didn't know where should I go, where I can experience some happiness. And one of his pious friends told him, go to Iskcon temple. There fellows are always dancing and chanting. They are always smiling. And their Lord also always keeps smiling. So then he ended up in Iskcon. Now he is a 1600 devotee. Pune, regularly he and his wife. So the external accomplishments appear, they doesn't make people happy. But the nishrayas, which is inner fulfillment, that will make us happy. But the inner fulfillment doesn't come by individual struggle for happiness. Rather, the inner fulfillment actually comes by having a very firm faith in Krishna's greatness. And by that firm faith in Krishna, the superficial coverings of grass and subtle coverings, one doesn't take them seriously at all. Although they may be present, as a matter of fact, one as a individual soul understanding that Krishna is my master, one can live life free from all misery. If one honestly accepts this fact in one's heart, this is also one definition of humility. Humility means not anxious to be honored by others, but humility also means to recognize our supreme master, who is followed by millions of masters in Guru Parampara, Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor. Who is Gopi Bhartu? Krishna. Dasa Dana Dasa, all the gopis and all the acharyas and parampara. So they are all following that supreme master. So once the heart honestly accepts that supreme master, then there is no more illusion, there is no more lamentation, there is no more fear, there is no more anxiety, and there is no more hankering, because the material endeavor, like the Krishna says in 16th chapter, idam adhyamaya labdham imam prapse manoratam idam asti idam apime bhavishyanti punardhanam. So in that series of verses, he's talking about a materialist who is greedy, who accumulates wealth, and who knocks down enemies, and who is proud of his aristocratic relatives who surround him. Konyosi sadrishamaya aisharohamaham bhogi. Such a person is externally appearing to be very superficially happy, but that pleasure is cotton candy. It doesn't last for a very long time. Inside they feel emptiness. So there was one Raman Raghav in, not Raman Raghav, I mean, there was one Ramanan, I think, in America. He was a South Indian. He went to University of California, and you know, he did his MBA. He was a CA and MBA, and he went to great heights in becoming shareholders of many companies. He became a multi billionaire at one time. But when suddenly there was a recession in America, the whole economic situation came crashing down. Of course, he didn't become a beggar in the street. You know, probably he must have become a lakhpati or something like that from a very big position. He lost all his crores of, dollars. Then he became like a mediocre in society. That was so much for him. What will my image, what will happen to my image? What will my relatives say? What will my friends say about me? Everybody will look down upon me. Because he was floating in big circles. So, 1 week the house door was locked until the neighbors reported to police. When they broke open the door, they understood what had transpired inside. He had chartered his 3 grown-up children. They are all like 8th standard, 12th standard, in the college. He shot his 2 sons and 1 daughter, and he shot his wife, he shot himself also. He had died because when material service, when the material success crumbles, when one finds life shelterless in this world, and one has no inner spiritual shelter, then one commits suicide. You see. Of course, Brahma didn't commit suicide when he couldn't find the truth because he had shelter in Krishna. Then if Brahma did not survive, then the whole universe has to be wrapped up. Lord Vishnu has to take back. What did this fellow do? Then he has to create another universe. But Brahma, actually Brahma is the best of the living entities. Prabhupada says, one another translation, Brahma is the purest of the living beings. When he went around searching, he couldn't find anything, everywhere darkness. He didn't go into depression, but he got a direction. You see, whenever this question comes in our mind, I really don't know what is the right course of action. I am saying one thing, another devotee is saying another thing. Because sometimes two devotees have a quarrel. Of course, the quarrel is also transcendental in one sense. Why? Because one devotee says the right thing, another devotee says the kind thing. But the devotee says, this is right, although it may be painful to apply. Another devotee may be saying that this is kind. But this person may say, oh, that is emotionally pampering, but spiritually draining. So they both are ultimately concerned about the welfare of somebody to whom they are administering it. Correct? Now one says right is the right path and another says kind is the right path. So what to do? What decision should be accepted when there is such kind of things? So when one is unable to decide, one should take a moment and one should not make a hasty dash. Because snap decisions will make us regret later. So one should wait and pray to the Lord and postpone the decision and think twice before acting. Because thinking twice will help us to post ourselves in sattva guna and think what is the right course of action. And in that period of time, we can also consider this matter deeply. What will be pleasing to my Guru? What will be pleasing to Krishna? So spiritual life is not about what is right, what is wrong. But spiritual life is all about what will please Krishna and the superiors. So if this question is considered in the mind, the right answer will come from within one's heart, awarded by the super soul. And then one's action can be pleasing to all. So, and even if you are unable to arrive at the perfect answer, if we do that action with the best of our discretion, whatever our discrimination is able to provide us, still you will see that some good end result will be produced, and that will offer us some learning experience to arrive at a better decision in future. So in this way, because we are, we should know that we are born from the Supreme Lord, so we have to work for His pleasure. That is the most foundational, original thing for the soul. The soul being a part and parcel of the Lord. You see, there is a difference between calling something as a part and a part and parcel. For example, if you take this leg, if you cut it and take only this stick and show and ask somebody, what is it? Somebody may say, it's a stick. Correct, no? And you fit it here and ask, what is this? They will say, it's a table. Correct, no? And so stick and table, so stick is a part of the table, not a part and parcel. Actually, part and parcel means what? Like if you take Kadisakar, for example, the rock candy, and you break one portion of it, that one portion of the rock candy has all the qualities of the big rock. Correct, no? Just like a drop of water from the ocean is enough to be taken to a laboratory to say what is the salt content in that water, in ocean. Correct, no? So that is actually part and parcel. So Prabhupada says the jivas are all minute samples of Krishna, Prabhupada says in one place. But because we are minute, we are not the enjoyer. We are servant. So we have similar natures like Krishna. But we are servants and Krishna is the master. That's the difference. Now being a part, actually you will always see the part always serves the whole. Hand is a part, it serves the belly. Isn't it? Similarly, a man works in a company. He is a part and he serves the company. Correct, no? Similarly, we are part and parcel of the Lord. To serve the Lord is natural. That's why Brahma, when he came back and sat, one thing he understood, some father has created me, surely. I have appeared here and I don't know who I am. So he prayed for intelligence. He prayed for wisdom. And then the Lord provided him further guidance. Prabhupada very clearly distinguishes between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. You see, in a Nectar of Devotion also Prabhupada says that philosophical speculation is good if one wants to expand on the truth that Krishna has already spoken in the scriptures. if you want to expand on the truth that he has already spoken, that is philosophical speculation. Mental speculation means you keep aside what Krishna says, and then you concoct something of your own. Like one popular guru, he used to tell his people, don't follow anyone, follow your own mind. So Prabhupada told that some devotees came and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, because he is saying like this, we are not able to preach to his men, because they say that we don't follow any Guruji, we don't follow set pattern of things and all, we think for ourselves. And Prabhupada said, if he says that, why should they follow him? They can tell him, get lost, we will not follow you also. Correct, na? Then they can think for themselves and arrive at the right answer and come to Prabhupada. Correct, na? Isn't it? So this kind of bogus philosophies are spread by so many people, which is mental speculation. You see, there is one class of people who say that even in ISKCON, at one time this impurity was about to enter and Prabhupada saved ISKCON. They say that, you know, Smaran is more powerful than Shravan and Kirtan also. Like here is Prabhupada says here, Samadhi involves concentrating the mind upon the supreme cause of all, even if one is unaware of whether his actual nature is personal, impersonal, localized, you don't know. Concentration of the mind on the supreme is certainly a form of devotional service. So there is smaranam, meditating on the Lord. So is it true that smaranam is more powerful than shravanam and kirtanam? Is it more powerful than kirtanam also? And it is considered true in the shastras. Why? Because the smaranam is on the platform of consciousness. So if one can apply one's consciousness to absorb one's thoughts fully in Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes and activities, then such a smaranam will be very powerful and it will completely evaporate all the upadhis. One can do that. But our acharyas in our line have not approved of that direct smaranam with the mind. There is a reason for that. They have clearly mentioned, like if you read this Manashiksha, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he says, Kirtana prabhave smarana hoyipe sakala nirjana bhajana sambhava. Like that he says. He's saying, Kirtana prabhave smarana hoyipe. He's saying, Kirtan is the main thing. If you do Kirtan, which means glorification of Lord through Srimad Bhagavatam and performing Harinam Sankirtan, smarana hoyipe, by that the smaran should come. The smaran comes through that, that's the right way of accepting smaranam, remembrance of the Lord. At that time, he says, sakala means at that point of time, nirjan bhajan you can do. Nirjan bhajan doesn't necessarily mean you leave the city and everything and go to some Radha Kund and live in the bank of Radha Kund. That's nirjan bhajan. Actually, nirjan bhajan means even when we are surrounded by thousands of people, our consciousness withdraws from the external world and is able to relish Krishna's pastimes. That is also nirjan bhajan. Vivikta desha sevitvam aratir jana samsadhi. Like when Prabhupada was in New York, you know, one time in Bowery, some of his disciples said, Prabhupada, we feel ashamed that we have brought a pure devotee like you to this horrible place, Bowery, where people are drinking, smoking, taking drugs and everything. Prabhupada said, what are you saying? This is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha? Bhavari is Vaikuntha? Prabhupada said, anywhere people are agreeing to chant the holy names and serve the Supreme Lord, that place is Vaikuntha. So a pure devotee sees even a Bhavari as Vaikuntha, because that is Nirjan Bhajan. Nirjan Bhajan means there may be so many things happening around, but a pure devotee doesn't connect with them. He only connects with Krishna. And that type of smaran should be achieved through Kirtan. Otherwise, a neophyte devotee tries to do smaran of the Leela Cheshtas of the Lord in the mind, hoping that I will also get some Leela Spurti like Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami or Acharyas like Vishnu Chakrati Thakur. Such kind of simply applying only the mind. You see, mind is a part of Aparashakti. Whereas consciousness, which comes from the soul, is a part of Parashakti. So the Parashakti is spiritual world. So we have to be imbued with devotion that is blessed by antaranga shakti, and from that devotional consciousness, like iron rod put in fire, becomes yellow hot, you know, red hot, white hot, you know, it becomes very, very hot. So that time it acquires the qualities of fire. Similarly, the soul, by a very deep-rooted faith in Krishna and loving service to Krishna and Guru, earns the grace, Kripa coming in Parampara through from Srimati Radharani down the line. So when one's consciousness becomes imbued with devotional sentiments, with those devotional sentiments, when one approaches the chanting of the holy name, then that holy name will awaken Leela Sphurti. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says in one of his writings that Krishna is not there when you utter the word Krishna. Don't be shocked, because we have heard so many times Krishna and his name are non-different. What is he saying? He says the word Krishna is like a capsule, and the seva bhav while uttering the name is like the powder inside the capsule. If you say Krishna, like we are chanting Hare Krishna every day, we just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but there is no right attitude of servitude in chanting the holy name, then that doesn't attract Krishna. And then he explains what exactly happens in chanting. He says, when a jiva is chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and he has a desire to become free from all material entanglement, and he has a desire to completely engage in Krishna's service, and there is a prayerful mood, please Krishna, engage him in your service. That prayerful mood is what is the only element that Krishna accepts, being a bhavagrahi, correct, no? That's the only, it's like the juice in a fruit. Krishna accepts that bhav. Then after Krishna accepts the bhav, he agrees to descend from the spiritual plane to the material plane in this material world. Our body, everything is made up of material only, our material body. Although our material tongue, how can in a material tongue Krishna descend? But because we are offering a prayer to Krishna with the right attitude, Krishna agrees to descend even on a material plane. Just like through the eight Ashtadhatus, he is agreeing to come as Archa Shri Vigraha. He is coming. In this way, Krishna agrees to come even in the material world. Like our Kunti was surprised, how can the Supreme Lord descend into this world, which is a horrible place where all jivas are very envious and they are antagonistic and rebellious of him. He doesn't have to come here at all. But he comes to meet his pure devotees. Similarly, if we have a little bit of pure devotional inclination, which is also attractive to Krishna because it is a sample of Radharani only. When Krishna sees a small part and parcel of Radharani, sample of devotion in a devotee, that Radharani only attracts him. That is why wherever there is Ladini potency, Krishna is mad after that devotee. Correct, na? So that is why our heart has to become imbued with devotion, which is blessed by Srimati Radharani. And when that devotion is seen by Krishna, wherever the devotion is, he becomes attracted. It's immaterial. It can be just like we read that famous verse. Devai vidantyati taranti deva maya stri shudra huna shabara api papa jivaha yadyad bhuta krama parayana shila shikshas teriyanjana kimupai teriyanjana kima, what is the kimu? Shruta dharanaye. That was also, and one more verse also. Aho batashvapachoto gariyan yajjihvagre vartate namatubhyam. What is the nam that resides at the tip of the tongue? Is it Ram or Krishna? Say Ram. Lips are involved. Krishna. See that. Tip of the tongue is involved. So she's talking about Krishna nam only. Krishna. This is one of the commentaries. She's telling, Yajjihva agre vartate namatubhyam. If in the tip of somebody's tongue, Krishna's name is descending, such a person has already completed performance of yajna, yoga, jnana, everything in the purva janam. Now one has come to that blessed position. So, then the Lord descends in the tongue of the devotee, and then as the Lord descends, the devotee's heart becomes flooded with satisfaction and happiness, the spiritual bliss. So after that, the then the remembrance that follows, that is actual smarana. That's why they say kirtana prabhave smarana hoipe. That is the right type of smarana. If somebody tries to use the mind to sit in one place, close the mind and imagine some Radha Krishna pastimes and everything, then he will get entangled with ladies and gents. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that. You will see that it has happened to many, many people. Because they were trying to override the acharyas and try to become sahajiyas, cross over the teachings of the Guru Parampara and try to directly access through some shortcut. Sometimes you find, say, you want to go to school, but there is a shortcut, but there is a long cut. Only problem is in shortcut there is a big bulldog, which generally sleeps, but we don't know whether it's sleeping or awake. So which path will you take? Long cut is better, safer. Otherwise, in shortcut you may never reach the school. You may probably be reached to the hospital or somewhere. Isn't it? Similarly, this path of Sahajayism, which arises from mental concoction, is very dangerous. See, there are people attached to the material world, detached from God. They are called karmis. Then there are people who are detached from material world and attached to God. That is actually the devotees. Devotees are supposed to be like that. And there are people who are attached to material world, attached to Krishna also. Who is that? Sahajiyas. Yeah. And then there are people who are detached from material world and they are so detached that they are detached from Krishna also. They are Mayavadis. Correct. So Sahajiyas come in which one? Attached to material world also. Attached to Krishna also. So because of this, they try to understand Krishna through their mental concoction, which will never lead them to the ultimate truth. So by mental speculation, one cannot arrive at the truth. In that lecture, Prabhupada says that using one's intelligence, one tries to find out the cause of all causes. And one cannot find by one's own endeavor. Like Brahma also here, he is trying to understand the ultimate cause of his existence. And for that, what he had to do? He had to concentrate the mind. See, you will find in the Vedic times, anybody had to do some great project or great work, the first thing they will do is to become detached from the worldly affairs and go to jungle and sit and perform penance. All, both pious people and Rakshasas also, you will find, our Ravana and his sister Shurpanaka and Vibhishan, all three of them performed severe penances. Now, why do demons perform penances? Because they want to get powers to create trouble in this world and lord over the world. On the other hand, there are pious people also who perform penances. Like Prachetas were told that, Prajna Parishad told them that you all get married and increase the praja. What did they do? Did they search for some marriage alliance? Did they go to some shadi.com or something in the internet? Where they went? I mean, they were told to get married. Where they went? They went to jungle. Do people go to jungle to get married? First, they went to jungle to control the senses and mind. Marriage comes much later. Because Brahmaji tells Priyavrat, Jitendriyasyatma Rater Buddhasya Grihashtama Kimnu Karotyavadyam. He's asking him. Three qualifications he's saying to become a Grihastha. You should be a Jitendriya. You should have conquered your senses. Atmarati, you should delight only in the soul. Buddhasya, you should be spiritually wise. Then grihashrama kimnu karotyavadyam. How can grihasthashrama entangle you? If you have these three. So when I told this, one boy asked, Prabhuji, if I have these three, I can become brahmachari only. Yeah, you can become brahmachari, but sometimes in Vedic times, there was a need for some kings to be married. So they accepted marriage as a duty. Correct, no? Out of a sense of duty, they accepted marriage. They didn't accept marriage for enjoyment, many of them. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking, Yan Maitunadi Grahamai Sukham Hitucham. After that, he got married. And also, he became king of the whole world. Correct, no? Next to Hiranyakashipu. Because their goal of marriage was not enjoyment. Like you see, Kardamamuni, he is doing penance in the jungle. When Swayambhu Manu and his wife and daughter came, and then they proposed marriage alliance. And then, before even accepting hands of Devuti, he clearly told Swayambhu Manu, You say, I will give your daughter, I'll give her one son. After that I'll take sannyas and I'll go away. Are you ready? Sai Baba Manu was shocked. You know, imagine, he is wedded and then he gives one son and he goes away for sannyas. My daughter has to remain alone for the till the boy grows up. So immediately he turned to his wife. What do you say? He didn't directly ask the daughter. Because if directly asked the daughter, father and daughter nodded their head and agreed, then wife will say, what am I? You know, I am here. You have ignored me. Correct, no? So he looked at his wife. And then the wife looked at daughter. And daughter was very pretty confident. She said, go ahead, no problem. And then the mother also gave a nodding to the husband. This is an emotional circuit. From father to wife to daughter, daughter to mother to father. And then he spoke. So, then he said to Kadamuni, my wife and daughter are agreeable. So I was amazed when I read this because, see, he is going to marry now, but at the time of marriage he is contemplating on renunciation. Is there anybody in this world, 1 week before marriage they will think, when will I take sannyas at the age of 50? Does anybody think? Generally people enter marriage with the idea of enjoying life, you know, becoming success in the world. But here you find Kardamuni is setting an amazing example. So, in this way, people generally take to the order of renunciation and go to jungle because they want to, just like if you see sunlight when it is diffused, take a magnifying glass, it becomes focused at one focal point. Then you can burn a paper or cotton. Similarly, when you go to jungle, no, jana, aratir, jana samsadhi, leave everything, and then there is no mental anxiety lingering, no mental responsibilities. Just sit, jitasano, jitashwasa, pratyahrda, jitendriya. Sit in one place and control your breathing process, control the senses, control the mind, focus your intelligence on the Supreme Lord. Bhakti bhavanaya dvastaha rajas sattva tamo malaha. So one can subdue the rajas sattva tama, everything, and then bhakti bhavana can be awakened. So in this way, when one focuses on the Supreme, one becomes powerful, one becomes extremely empowered. Actually that empowerment comes by connection with the Supreme. Just like a bulb connected to the electricity board, immediately it can glow. No connection, no light. Correct, no? Similarly, by connection to God, by surrender to God, one gets powerfully empowered. Then people would come back from the jungle. Just like Dhruva Maharaj came back. Similarly, Brahma also, he focused his attention on the Supreme and he became empowered with all that is necessary. Material, spiritual, everything that is necessary will be provided by such a one-pointed concentration. So, in the last class, I concluded with one Bhagavad Gita shloka. We'll repeat that and conclude. Yo mameva asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati maam sarvabhavena bharata. So in this verse Krishna says, one who knows me without any bewilderment or doubt, such a person knows everything. He says, it's a sarvavit, he says. So what is the meaning of sarvavit? If one becomes connected to the source of all wisdom, or we can say, one who becomes connected to the reservoir of knowledge, who has a oceanic knowledge, like Krishna, Krishna's knowledge is unlimited, correct? No? Actually, that type of knowledge comes by carefully, Mahajano Yena Gata Sappanta, he said, Tarko apatishtha shudhiyo abhinna nasa vrishariya samatam na bhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Guhayam means the heart. In the heart of the Mahajana such things reside. And how did they become so enlightened and wise? Because when they hear from other Mahajanas, which ultimately comes from Krishna, so such wisdom is awakened. For example, when Lord entered Muchukunda's gufa, you know, Muchukunda was asleep. And then when he got awake, he burned down Kalayavana, who was chasing after Krishna. So, and then Krishna was standing there and he looked at Krishna and his eyes became diminished in power. And then he asked Krishna, my dear Lord, who are you? You are standing on a lotus and your body is shining In fact, I am unable to burn your body. Rather, my eyes have become diminished in their prowess. So you must be a great personality. Are you the sun? Are you the Varuna? Are you the Vayu? Or are you the Supreme Lord Vishnu? Like that he asked them, who are you? Please tell me. So Lord was in four hands standing. So then Lord told him, my dear Muchukunda, in your previous life you were my pure devotee. And you very much desired my darshan. And then you left your body. And now I have come to give you darshan. And then the Lord said, it is my eternal principle that anyone who has rendered even a little bit of devotional service to me, I will never forget. Even if they forget, I will not forget. Like this Lord spoke. Agar kisi ne bhakti kar li hai, soye hue bhakt ko bhi jaga kar darshan dunga. Lekin agar bhakti nahi ki, agar kisi ne bhakti nahi ki hai, aankh ko khol khol kar dekhne se bhi main prapt nahi hunga. Even if you open your eyes big and see me, you cannot get me unless you have rendered devotional service. But if you have done devotional service, your homework is done, then I will wake you up and give you darshan. Like that the Lord said. This is one of his eternal principles, you see. Similarly, Lord has another eternal principle. The Lord told Kumaras, my dear Kumaras, by following the Vaishnavas behind, seeing their footprints and taking some dust from their footprints and putting it on my head, I have become so pavan, so pavitra, so powerful that even Lord Shiva wants to accept the Ganga that is flowing from my feet. I have no sanctity. My sanctity comes from taking the dust of my devotees on my head. Because of it, Shiva considers my dust of my feet sacred because of that. He says, not only that, by taking the dust of my devotees, on pure devotees on my head, Lakshmi finds my heart very attractive, that she is always eager to come and reside in my heart. Like that he spoke to Kumaras when the Lord spoke. So this is Lord's great humility in praising the devotees. The Lord knows very little about his own glories. But he knows abundant glories of his pure devotees. See Bhagavad Gita 12:12-20, how he glorifies his devotees. Similarly in Chatushtaki Bhagavad Gita, how he glorifies his devotees. But when it comes to talking about himself, Krishna cannot coherently glorify about himself fully. Because he doesn't know about his own glory. Just like one Tukaram in one of his songs, he says, my dear Lord, a beautifully blossomed lotus, it doesn't know its beauty. It doesn't know its sweetness of the honey, and that is only known to the bumblebee, not to the lotus. Lotus just blooming in the morning, and then all the honey is there. He doesn't know who he is. Only the bumblebee knows. In the same manner, you know, aham veti, sukho veti, vyaso veti na vetiva, bhaktya bhagavatam grahyam. Na buddhaya, na chatikaya, like that he says. Why he says in this verse like this, you know, aham veti, Lord Shiva says, I know, sukho veti, Sukadevi Goswami also know, vyaso veti na veti, I don't know whether Vyasa knows or not, Bhagavatam, he says. Why? Because Vyasa is literary incarnation of Supreme Lord. So oftentimes Supreme Lord doesn't broadcast his glory sufficiently, he's little shy. Even while telling Arjuna, Krishna told, Arjuna, Tameva Saranam Gacha, Tumare Baap Ki Saran Jao, take shelter of Lord in your heart. Somebody may ask Krishna, Lord in your heart, that is you only, no? Yeah, me only, but still I will tell him to take shelter of the Lord in the heart, he's saying. Sometimes a father calls a son and puts him on the lap and says, Beta, Pita ka baat manna chahiye, he's saying, like that Krishna is telling. But when it comes to his devotees' glories, Krishna will broadcast his devotees' glories unlimitedly, you see. Actually, we are running out of time. So, in case I wish to say some more things, I'll continue in the next class. I'll say one line and conclude. You see, Haridasa Thakur chanted 3 lakh names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted only 1 lakh, sometimes 2 lakh. So, who is great? Haridasa Thakur great or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Prabhupada is asking in one purport. Then Prabhupada is saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached only in India. I preached all over the world. Who is great? Prabhupada asked. You know, Lord Ramachandra needed a Setu Bandh. Whereas Hanuman did not need any Setu Bandh. He just flew over the ocean and went to Lanka. So who is great? Jis Sagar ko bina Setu ke fandh sake nahi Ram. उदगये हनुमान उसी में लेके राम का नाम हरि से बड़ा हरि का नाम. सो यू फाइंड एंड देन प्रॉपर एक्सप्लेन्स. You may think devotee seems to be greater than the Lord. Yes, devotee is greater than the Lord by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is so fond of pushing his devotees in the front. Many times parents praise their children so much, they don't praise themselves so much. Like that, the Lord also empowers his devotees to do greater than himself. And so when Prabhupada was busy in America glorifying Krishna, Krishna became busy glorifying Prabhupada all over the world. Chala Prabhupada ki. So these are all eternal principles of the Lord, and these are revealed in Guru Parampara through the from the heart of pure devotees, and that is the only way to learn, not by mental speculation. Thank you very much.
Means that I